In keeping with our adult education, I will be speaking today. Father Seraphim is out of town. Last year, or maybe it was in the spring, I spoke a little bit about the canons of the church. And there seemed to be a lot of interest and some confusion about what goes on with the canons and where they come from and, you know, what authority they have. And, you know, last year I told you that the canons were, actually the word canon means a ruler or a measuring stick. So it's the standard that is set. Now, who can declare canons? Well, the canons can be ultimately set by ecumenical councils, by local councils, patriarchal councils, by metropolis councils, by archdiocesan councils. They can be set individually by bishops, and they can be set even by priests. Okay, so when we talk about canons, somehow everybody says the canons of the church, that they're somehow holy and that they're somehow overall, they cover overall everybody in the church. But the reality is we have some universal canons. Okay, the universal canons come from the ecumenical councils, from the councils from the entire church. Okay, these are canons that are usually have to do with the dogmas. We call them the dogmatic canons. So it tells us these standards of faith. Okay, so when we read the creed, we're reading the canon. This canon was taken, was put together by the ecumenical councils and said, this is what we believe. And this is what the standard is, the measuring stick is, for Orthodox Christians. If you believe in that creed, then you can be an Orthodox Christian. But if you don't believe in that creed, then you can't be an Orthodox Christian. So these are the universals. The canons that say that Jesus was fully man and fully human, says this is a canon of the church. But now there are other canons that, and the church gets together for a reason. They don't just get together and say, well, let's think up some canons. There's a reason, there's something happening in the church, either universally or locally, and it has to be addressed by the bishops or the priests. So this is the rules of the church, the rules of order. Now, most of the canons, or many of the canons of the early canons of the church are put into a book. Okay, now this is a mixture of ecumenical councils and local councils. Okay, and this book is called the Rudder, the Pedelion in Greek. And it has been translated and interpreted by Athenite monks and saints, and they have presented it to us in a book. Well, the book is not a very good book. I mean, it's not very well done, but it's really pretty much all we have. But it's not meant to be a legal book that we go and beat people over the head with. It's just an informative book. Okay, the canons, the universal canons we are all bound to. The canons that are local canons, only the local jurisdiction that had that council is absolutely bound to those canons. Now, others can voluntarily follow those canons. But for instance, I would have to get the permission of the bishop to follow the canon of another jurisdiction. Okay, so these rules are made for the local community, for the local church. So the Patriarch of Russia, for instance, has different canons than the Patriarch of Constantinople. Not necessarily conflicting, but they have local areas and they do certain things a certain way. And there's reasons that we do certain things a certain way, because the canons are not to be taken as written in law. They are not all dogma. They are not all non-negotiable. They are to be able to function as a church of salvation in the most efficient way that we can. So the canons are very important. But the hard part is, and what we have to be careful of, is that we pick up the rudder, we open it up someplace, and we read a canon that says XXX. And therefore, we're scandalized because we say, well, my church or my priest or my bishop is not doing XXX. But that doesn't pertain to your priest or your bishop because it's a local canon. And it's someplace over in Asia Minor someplace. Okay, now, if we choose to do that, we can. Again, with the permission of the bishop. So we don't want to confuse these things. And a lot of confusion comes out, I notice, that, you know, we are several, in this country, we are several different jurisdictions. And that's where a lot of confusion comes in. For instance, in the Russian church, they have a canon, a local canon, that they have to go to confession before they receive communion. So they have a priest, you know, before the liturgy, and he's there, and he runs people through confession so that they can receive communion. But that's a local canon. Okay, we don't do that. That's not a canon in the Greek Orthodox Church. So when the Russians come, or some of the Russians or OCA comes to the Orthodox Church, they might be scandalized, and they're saying, oh my God, they're doing it wrong. Because they're not having confession before they receive communion. It has nothing to do with that. Okay, we are under jurisdictional canons. Okay, we do things a different way, and we do things for a reason for a different way. It's pastoral reasons. And there are other canons that say that it's forbidden, or you should not have to go to confession. Well, there's nothing should be in front of you or an obstacle put in front of you to come to communion. And that confession should be done when it's necessary to do confession, not every single Sunday. And that there's canons that say you have to receive communion every Sunday. Okay, but there's other canons that might, in other words, local canons from the monasteries that would say something different. So all of these things are canons. They're all valid, but they're all valid within the jurisdiction within which they were composed. So we have, before the schism with the Roman Catholic Church, there was a local canon for the Church of Rome that said that the priest must be celibate. Okay, and they still have maintained that canon. And it is within the authority of that jurisdiction to do that. But the rest of the church never accepted that. So that was a jurisdictional canon. So we don't take jurisdictional canons and just absolutely, with a wide brush, say these are canons that are absolutely have to be followed with the church. Or if a certain jurisdiction doesn't follow this canon, that they're somehow condemned to hell. So we have to understand the position and the place of the canon. It's unfortunate that sometimes people pick up the book like a gospel book and they start reading the canons and they want to fulfill all of these different canons. And it's absolutely stupid. There's no reason to do that. You know, this is informational only. Okay, the canons of the church should be read jurisdictionally. The bishop tells us what canons pertain to us. Now, if the bishop sends a letter out and says, I want you to do the collection tray a certain way, or at a certain time during the liturgy, Or maybe they will say, I don't want you taking or put collection tray during the liturgy. You know, put something out in the narthex. When people come in, they can put their donations there. It doesn't belong in the liturgy. That's a canon. Okay, that's a canon for the Metropolis of Atlanta, just because it's an instruction that was given to us by the bishop. But now, we can't go into the Metropolis of San Francisco and expect them to be following the canon of the Bishop of Atlanta, because they have their own bishop, and he knows or he feels what is best for his metropolis. So we should not be scandalized by these things. And unfortunately, is with the canons, is a lot of people take them and they read them and they say that the entire church is bound by these and we have to do all of these things. Some canons are antiquated. Some don't even make sense in the modern world. And if we were to sit there in all honesty and try to conform to every one of those canons, I would have to throw you all out of church today. And then I would have to throw myself out. Because nobody can live to that standard. There are canons that men or women should not wear jewelry. Men or women should not have vain haircuts. Men and women should not wear makeup. So, you know, these canons were pertinent at a certain time, but they're not pertinent now. So the local bishop makes that determination. And the local bishop gives us the canons of how to operate. Now, if there's something in the community that a decision needs to be made on, which maybe the bishop doesn't tell us when to pass the tray, then it comes to the priest. And the priest says, well, this is a good place to pass the tray. Well, that's a canon. Okay, that's a standard that has been set by the priest. But you can't go to another community, you can't go to St. Luke's or Holy Trinity and say, oh, you must do the tray at this time, you must do it this way. No, that's very local canon. We have an orderly, people come orderly, in an orderly fashion for communion. We have the ushers letting people out. Other communities, they don't do that. It's just everybody just comes out like a herd, okay? But, you know, you can't say that one is right and the other is wrong. This is the way we do it, this is our canon, and this is the way they do it. So when we talk about canons or canones, we have to remember that we cannot open the canon and interpret them. And we certainly cannot open the Book of Canons and start pointing the finger at other people or other jurisdictions. That's not what it's for. It's just, let's say, a history book of canons. Each bishop has the authority, and each council, a synodal council, has the authority to put canons together. They have the authority to go against certain canons. Last time we spoke, there is a canon in the book, and it's a local canon that talks about we should stand during the worship service, and we should not kneel on Sundays. And these are local canons. And many people have read those, and they come and they say, well, why are they kneeling? There's a canon that says we should stand in worship on Sundays. I've even seen priests do this when they're sitting in the congregation. Because in their mind, that's the proper way, because there's a canon that says that. But Archbishop Michael told us so many years ago, says that he wanted, the Archbishop of America at that time, said that he wanted us to kneel. That's the canon, and it supersedes and the other canon. And that other canon was jurisdictional anyway. It was not for this jurisdiction. Okay, there's canons that prohibit organs in the church. But we have superseded them and allowed organs in the church. So we can't think this fundamentalist way of I've read the canons and I know what's best for the church. We have to understand that canons are and should be living things to be changed and to be modified by the local synod and by the local bishop. The only thing that needs to be done by the entire church is on faith and on dogma. And that's not and should not change. That's already been determined. Okay? That's the creed. We should not, with the creed, all of a sudden come up with a change in the creed. It's critical. The only way you can do that change is through the ecumenical council. This was a point of contention with the Western Church back in ancient times. Okay? In Spain, there was a heresy that was saying that Jesus Christ was not fully divine. And in order to counteract that heresy, they changed the creed in just a little way. Okay? And they started saying the creed in a different way, which promoted Christ in the Trinity. But the rest of the church was scandalized by that. It says, you can't do that. You can't make that change unless the entire church accepts that change. So we see that the local became jurisdictional in the Western Church. But by the same token, we have to understand how important it is that we look to our bishops and to the synod, the local synod, to tell us what they want us to do. As a priest, I cannot legally do whatever I want. Okay? We are all bound by the bishop and by the synod of bishops. The synod, more appropriately, will speak to a local bishop if he's starting to overstep his bounds and starting to tell people to do things that are inappropriate. Well, the synod will take care of that. Okay, if the synod starts doing weird things, then another ecumenical or pan-Orthodox or some other council will sit down and straighten them out. But our job is to load the wagon. Our job is to do what we've been told to do. So, my friends, says you're better off not reading the book of the canons, because you will be very, very confused, as many, many people are that come and speak to me, and they don't understand these different things. So, if you have questions, specific questions, come and ask me. If I can answer it, I will. If not, I will check with the bishop or the chancellor, and we will come back with an answer. But please don't go looking for answers in the rudder. It's very interesting to read. I love reading it because it's the wording and the way things are, and imagining why these canons were written. So it's a very interesting read, but it is not gospel. Okay, it is not scripture. So keep it in this right place. And again, if you have questions, always feel free to come and to ask me, and I will give you an answer, even if I need to go through the bishop or even the synod. Okay? So I hope that you all have a blessed day, And I look forward to a wonderful and blessed, sanctified divine liturgy.